Margaret project. The recordings usually go straight to the top of the charts, but you can hear these Lugano performances first here on Radio 3 this week from Tuesday at 1. For now, though, from me, goodbye.
And that was Ian Skelly. Well, tonight at 10 to 11 in Early Music Late, we'll be hearing a concert of Italian Renaissance music recorded at last year's Poznan Baroque Festival in Poland. But the time now is 9 o'clock, and it's time for our drama on three, Roots by Arnold Wesker.
When you smile, when you smile at me, well, oh, you know your love was meant to be. If you kiss me right, oh, I don't want to ever say goodnight.
Shut you up, Daphne, and get you to sleep now.
Daphne wants
sleep, Mama. My word, child. Father come home, find you awake, he'll be after you.
Mama.
There. Now sleep, girl. I don't want you grumpy with me in the morning.
What's the matter with you then?
I don't know, girl. There's a pain in my guts and one between my shoulder blades. I can hardly stand up.
Well, I'll get you your supper on the table.
Blessed, I can't eat yet.
Well, don't you know what it is yet?
Well, how should I know what it is?
I told Mother about the pain. She say it's indigestion.
What the hell's indigestion doing between my shoulder blades then?
She says some people get indigestion so bad it go right through the stomach to the back.
Don't be daft.
That's what I say. Plus, Mother, I say, you don't get indigestion in the back. Don't you tell me, she say, I had it.
Oh, haven't you had?
Who do you see today?
Only Dr. Gallagher.
You see who?
Gallagher. His wife drove him up the old Armstrong.
Well, I'll go to hell if that ain't a rum thing.
What's happening?
We was down at the West Drive in the village and that Judy Maitland say he were dead. Because you know he had cancer this last year. They don't give him no longer than 3 weeks, don't you?
Old crows. They don't want nothing less than a death to wake them up.
No. No longer than 3 weeks.
There's your sister.
That's her.
Come you all in, gal. Don't you worry about you.
There she is.
Hello, Beatrice. How are you?
Hello, Jenny. How are you? What's that lovely smell I smell?
Onions for supper and bread for the harvest festival.
Watcher, Jimmy Beals. How are you doing, Bob?
Not a bad gal. How's yourself?
All right, you know. When are you coming to London again for a football match?
Yes, I don't want to go to any more of those things. Old Father Bryant was there in the middle of that crowd and he turned round and he said, stop you a-pushing, there he said, stop you a-pushing.
Where's Ronnie?
He's coming down at the end of 2 weeks.
And you married yet?
No.
You want to hurry then, girl. A long engagement don't do the old legs any good.
No, shut you up, Jimmy Beals, and get that food down you. Every time you talk, look, you miss a mouthful. It's no wonder you complain of pain in your shoulder blades.
Oh, you've been having pains then, Jimmy?
Yes, right between my shoulder blades.
Mother say it's indigestion.
What the hell's indigestion doing tween his shoulder blades?
Mother reckons some people get indigestion so bad it go right through the stomach to the back.
Don't talk daft.
That's what I say. Oh, blessed Mother, I say, you don't get indigestion in the back. But don't you tell me, she say, I had it.
What haven't she had? How is she?
Still the same, you know. How long are you staying this time?
2 days here, 2 weeks at home.
You hungry, gal?
What you got?
What'd you see?
Liver, I'll have it.
We've got some ice cream for after.
Yeah.
Look at her, look.
No, as soon as she's in, she's at them old comics. You still read them old things.
She don't change much, do she?
that. Soon ever I'm home again, I'm like I always was. Don't even see my bin away. I do the same lazy things and I talk the same. Yeah, funny that.
What do Ronnie say to it?
He don't mind. He don't even know though, he ain't never been here. Not in the 3 years I known him. But I tell you, I used to read the comics he bought for his nephews and he used to get roiled. Christ, woman! What can they give you that you could be so absorbed? So you know what I used to do? I used to get a copy of the Manchester Guardian, sit with that wide open and a comic behind.
Manchester Guardian? Blimey, Joey, don't believe in having much fun then.
Well, that's what I used to tell him. Fun, he'd say. Fun. Playing an instrument is fun. Painting is fun. Reading a book is fun. Talking with your friends is fun. But a comic. A comic. For a young woman of 22.
He sounded queer, thought to me. Sit down, you eat, gal.
He's alive, though.
Alive? Alive, you say? What's alive about someone who can't read a comic? What's alive about a person who reads books and looks at paintings and listens to classical music? Pfft. Well, that's all right for some, I suppose.
And then he'd sneak the comic away from me and read it himself.
Oh, well, he don't really mind then.
No, because sometimes I read books as well. There's nothing wrong with comics, he cried. He stand up on a chair when he want to preach, but don't want to sound too dramatic.
Hey?
Like this, look. There's nothing wrong with comics, only there's something wrong with comics all the time. There's nothing wrong with football, only there's something wrong with only football. There's nothing wrong with rock and rolling, only God preserve me from the girl that can't do nothing else. Oh! And there's nothing wrong with talking about the weather, but don't talk to me about it.
He never really row, either.
Oh, we used to. There was a time when he handled all official things for me, you know. Mm. Once, I was in between jobs and I didn't think to ask for my unemployment benefit. Hey. Told me to, but when I asked, they told me I was short on stamps, so I wasn't entitled to benefits. Well, I didn't know what to say, but he did. He went up and argued for me. Oh, he's just like his mother. She argued with everyone. And I got it. I didn't know how to talk. See? It was all foreign to me. Now think of it. An English girl, born and bred, and I couldn't talk the language. Well, except for to buy food and clothes. And so sometimes, when he were in a black mood, he'd start on me. What can you talk of? He'd ask. Go on. Pick a subject. Talk. Use the language. Do you know what language is? Well, I'd never thought before. Have you? It's automatic to you, isn't it? Like walking. Well, language is words, he'd say, as though he were telling me a secret. It's bridges, so that you can get safely from one place to another. And the more bridges you know about, the more places you can see. And do you know what happens when you can see a place, but you don't know where the bridge is?
Laska, what the hell are you on about?
Exactly, you see? You have a row. Still, rows is all right. I like a row. So then he'd say, bridges, bridges, bridges. Use your bridges, woman. It took thousands of years to build them. Use them. And that riled me. Blast your bridges, I'd say. Blast you and your bridges. I want a row. Then he'd grin at me. You want a row? He'd ask. No bridges this time. No bridges, I'd say, and we'd row. Sometimes he hurt me, but then slowly he'd build the bridge up for me, see? And then we'd make love.
You... What did you say?
Make love. Love in the afternoon, gal. Ever had it? It's the only time for it. go out or entertain in the evenings, sleep at night, study, work and chores in the morning, but love, alert and fresh, it's when you got the most energy. Love in the afternoon.
I suppose you take time off from work every afternoon to do it.
I'm talking about weekends and holidays, daft.
Oh, Beatty, go on with you.
Well, go to hell, Jenny Beals. You're blushing. And you never had love in the afternoon. Ask Jimmy then.
Just shut you up, girl, and get on with your ice cream. A strawberry flavour. Would you like some more vanilla, Jack?
Yes, please. Good cream, isn't it? Made from the white milk of a Jersey cow.
Oh, this is good too. Mm. Made from pink milk, ain't it?
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Come from a pink cow.
Do you remember Dickie Smart, Beatty?
Who?
We had a drink with him in the Storks when you was down last.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, he was gored by a bull last Thursday. His left ear was nearly off, his knee was gored, ribs bruised. And the ligaments of his legs torn.
He had a rough time then.
Yep. You off now?
Yep.
Oh, you still got your allotment, Jimmy?
Yep.
A bit heavy going this weather.
Not too bad just yet. Two more weeks and the old mould will clean.
What you got this year?
Spuds, carrots. Cabbages, you know, beetroots, lettuces, onions and peas. But my runners let me down this year, though.
Mm-hmm. I don't go much on them old things.
You got a fair old turn, then.
Yep.
I'll help you wash.
Oh, it's all right, girl.
Here's a cloth.
Mm, it is. Hey, what about that strike in London? What's London like without the buses?
Lovely. No noise. And the streets, you should see the streets, they're flowing with people. The city looks human.
I'm going to call us territorials, eh? We'd soon break the strike.
That's a soft thing for a worker to say for his mates.
Soft be buggered. Soft, you say? What are they earning, those busmen? What are they earning? And what's the farm workers' wage? Do you know it now?
So let the farm workers go on strike too, then.
It doesn't help the farm labourer if a busman don't go on strike, do it now?
You know they got a rise, do you? Father Bryant go up 6 and 6 a week as a pigman, and Frank, he go up 7 and 6 a week for driving a tractor.
Yeah, but you watch the whole sack on them.
It's true, Beatty. They're such sods. Honest to God, they are. Every time there's been a rise, someone gets sacked. Without fail. You watch it. You ask Father Bryant when you get home, ask him who's been sacked since the rise.
One person they don't sack is him, though. They don't find many men attend a pig 7 days a week and stay up the hours he do.
Bloody fool. Did Jimmy tell you? He's been chosen for the Territorials Jubilee in London this year.
What's this then? What do you do there?
Demonstrate and parade with arms and such like.
Won't do you any good.
Don't you reckon? Gotta show we can defend the country, you know. Demonstrate arms and you prevent a war.
Won't demonstrate anything, but present for the house. Have a hydrogen bomb fall on you, you'll find them things silly in your hands.
So you say, gal, so you say. That'll frighten them other bastards, though.
Frighten yourself, you mean? Present for the kid.
What do you know about this all of a sudden?
Thank you very much, Beatty. A tablecloth is just what I need.
You're not interested in defending your country, Jimmy. You just enjoy playing soldiers.
What did I do in the last war, then? Sing in the trenches?
Ever heard of Chaucer, Jimmy?
Nope.
Do you know the MP for this constituency?
What are you driving at, gal? Don't give me no riddles.
Do you know how the British trade union movement started? And do you believe in strike action?
No to both of those.
What are you going to war to defend then?
Beatty, you've been away from us for a long time now. You got a boy who's educated in that and he's taught you a lot, maybe. But don't you come pushing ideas across at us. We're all right as we are. You can come when you like and welcome, but don't bring no discussion of politics in the house with you, because that'll only cause trouble. I'm telling you.
Blessed gal, if you haven't touched him on a sore spot. He lived for them territorials, he do. That's half his life.
Well, what's he afraid of talking for?
Well, he ain't afraid of talking, Beatty. Blast it and do that, girl.
But not talk, not really talk, not use bridges. I sit with Ronnie and his friends sometimes and I listen to them talk about things. You know, I've never heard of half the words before.
Don't he tell you what they mean?
I get annoyed when he keep telling me. And he want me to ask. Always ask. People love to tell you what they know. Always ask and people will respect you.
And do you?
No, I don't. And you know why? Because I'm stubborn. I'm like Mother, I'm stubborn. Somehow I just can't bring myself to ask. And you know what? I go mad when I listen to them. As soon as they start to talk about things I don't know about or I can't understand, I get mad.
What do Ronnie say to that, then?
He get mad too. Why don't you ask me, woman? For God's sake, why don't you ask me? Aren't I dying to tell you about things? Only ask.
And he's got to marry you.
Why not?
Well, I'm sorry, gal. You mustn't mind me saying this, but that doesn't seem to me like you two got much in common.
It's not true, we're in love.
Well, you know.
No, I don't know. I won't know till he come here. From the first day I went to work as waitress at the Dell Hotel and saw him working in the kitchen, I fell in love. And I thought it was easy. I thought everything was easy. I chased him for 3 months with compliments and presents until I finally gave myself to him. He never said he loved me, nor I didn't care, but once he had taken me, he seemed to think he was responsible for me, and I didn't tell him no different. I'd make him love me, I thought. I didn't know much about him, except he was different. And he used to write most of the time. And then he went back to London, and I followed him there. I never moved far from home, but I did for him, and he felt all the time, oh, he couldn't leave me, and I didn't tell him no different. And then I got to know more about him. He's interested in all the things I never even thought about politics and art and all that. And he tried to teach me. He's a socialist, and he used to say you couldn't bring socialism to a country by making speeches, but perhaps you could pass it on to someone who was near you. So I pretended to be interested, but I didn't understand much. And yet, at the same time, I want to show I'm willing. Not used to learning. Learning's at school and that's finished with.
Blessed gal. That don't seem to me like you've got to be happy then, like I said.
But I love him.
Well, then you're not right in the head then.
I couldn't have any other kind of life now.
Well, I don't know and that's a fact.
Well, I don't know, and that's a fact.
Come on, gal. I'll teach you how to bake some pastries.
Pastries?
Ronnie taught me.
Oh, you learnt that much then.
Look, but he don't know. I always got annoyed when he tried to teach me to cook as well. Christ, I had to know something. But it sank in all the same.
Can you use a sledgehammer for that?
Oh, don't you worry, gal. It'll be all right once we're married. Once we're married and I got babies, I won't need to be interested in half the things I've got to be interested in now.
No, you won't, will you? Don't need no education for babies.
Nope. Babies is babies. You just have them.
Little sods.
You gonna have another, Jenny?
Of course I am. What are you on about? You think Jimmy don't want none of his own?
He's a good man, Jenny.
Yep.
Not many men will marry you after you had a baby.
No.
He didn't ask you any questions. Who was the father? Nor nothing?
No.
You haven't told no one, have you, Jenny?
No, that I haven't.
Well, that's it then, gal. Don't you tell me then.
Now stop it, BD. Every time you come home, you ask me that question and I'll head enough. It's finished with and over. No one don't say nothing. And no one know, you hear me?
Are you in love with Jimmy?
Love? Don't believe in any of that, Squid. We just got married, does that?
Jenny Beals, just look at this house. Look at it.
Well, I'm looking. What's wrong?
Let's clean it up.
Clean what up?
Are you going to live in this house all your life?
You going to buy us another?
Stuck out here in the wilds with only old Stan Man and his missus as a neighbour and sandpits all around. Every time it rains, look, you're stranded.
Jimmy don't earn enough for much more than we're gold.
But it's so dirty.
You wait till you've got a two-year-old kid.
Let's make some order. I love tidying.
What about the pastries? Pastries? Oh, my sainted aunt, the bread! Well, no one will complain after that. Isn't that beautiful, baby?
Oh, I could eat that now.
Are you hungry again?
I'm always hungry again. Ronnie say I eat more than I need. If you get fat, woman, I'll leave you without even a discussion.
Well, there ain't nothing wrong in being fat.
Yeah, you ain't got no choice, gal. Look, a bike. What's a bike doing in a living room? I'm putting it outside.
Jimmy, you don't know where it is.
Don't be daft. You can't miss a bike.
Away.
Well, bless gal, I ain't got nowhere to put them.
No, you've got drawers, you've got cupboards, and they're full already.
Oh, come here, let's look.
Oh, go on with you. You've got enough room for 10 families in here. You just bung it all in with no order. Here, help. There's my Frankie and Pearl.
They're all right. Oh, you know she and Mother don't talk to each other.
What, again? Well, whose fault is it this time?
Well, Mother, she say that's Pearl's fault. And Pearl, she say that's Mother.
Well, they want to get together quick and find out whose fault it is, because I'm going to call the whole family together for tea to meet Ronnie.
Well, Susan and Mother don't talk neither, so you've got a lot of peacemaking to do.
Oh, go to hell. What's broken them two up?
Well, Susan had never been too struck on her mother. You know that, don't you? Well, it seemed that Susan bought something off the club from Pearl. Pearl gave it to Mother, and Mother sent it to Susan through the fishmonger, what lived next door to her in the council houses. And, of course, Susan were riled, because she didn't want her neighbours to know she'd bought anything off the club. So they don't speak.
Kids! God, it makes me mad.
And you know what it is with Pearl, don't you? It's because Mother had never thought she were good enough for her son, Frankie.
No more than she wasn't, neither.
What's wrong with her? I get on all right.
Nothing's wrong with her. She just wasn't good enough for our Frankie, that's all.
Who's being small-minded now?
Always wanting more than he can give her.
And I know someone else who always wanted more than Cher God.
But that's not the same thing.
Oh, yes, it is.
Ten.
Oh, yes, it is, my girl. I want a nana.
A nana, oh. A nana. Frankie's got my nana, nana.
Well,
nana.
I like bananas. If you liked anything you could get your hands on. And Mother used to give it to you because you were the youngest. Oh. Me, Susan and Frankie never got nothing because of you. Oh, except a clout round the air.
It did so likely. You got everything and I got nothing.
All we got was what we pinched out of the larder. And then you used to go and tell tales to Mother.
I never did.
Oh, didn't you, my gal? Look, many's the time I'd have willingly strangled you. Yeah, well, no prayers, they are. Oh. No prayers whatsoever. Strangled you till you was dead.
Go on with you, Jenny Beals.
There.
I'm going to buy you some coat hangers.
You've got to get me a couple of coats to hang on them first, please.
All right, what next? Bottles, jars, knickknacks, saucepans, cups, papers. Oh, everything everywhere.
Well, come on. You hit this place like a bloody whirlwind, you do. Like a bloody whirlwind. Jimmy will think you've come into the wrong house. And I shan't be able to find a thing.
Where's the broom? How's Poppy?
Tight as ever.
And what won't he give you now?
Take nothing with me, girl. Nothing he do don't affect me. It's Mother I'm referring to.
Don't you still give her much money?
Money? She have to struggle and skint all the time. All the time. Well, it had never been no different from when we was kids, have it?
Nope.
I tell you what, that wouldn't surprise me if Mother were in debt. No, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Oh, never.
Well, what'd you say that for, Beatty? Do you know how much you allow her a week, look?
£6?
£6 be buggered, £4.10. And she'd have to keep house and buy her own clothes out of that.
Still, there's only two on them.
You try keeping two people in food for £4.10. Well, I'll go to hell if that isn't Stan Mann drunk again. Is that Jimmy with him?
I thought Stan Mann's paradise.
Yeah, that don't stop him getting paralytic drunk. That's Jimmy taking him into the house, I bet. Got a fortune. That man had drunk away a whole bleeding fortune. Do you remember that fleet of cars he used to run? All that land he had and them cattle and them fowl? Well, I've only got a few acres left now and a few old chickens. He'd drink it all away. Two strokes he've had now from drinking. And he's paralysed down one side. But that don't stop him getting drunk. No, that don't.
Silly old bugger.
I was just telling Beatty how he's drunk a fortune away, hasn't he?
You want to drink a little more often and he'll be finished for good.
Didn't he have all them cows and cars and land, Jimmy? Hadn't he drunk it all away, bit by bit?
And the old sod, I don't know when to stop.
I wished I had half the money he'd drink.
He's messed his pants.
He what? Well, where was this then?
Why, the allotment.
What did you do then?
Well, he come up to me, of course. I knowed he was drunk by the way he walked. He come up to me and he say, "Even Jimmy Beals, that's a fine turnover you got there." And I say, "Yep, tis." And then he bend down to pick a carrot from the ground and he cry, "Oops, I done it again." Of course, soon ever he say I done it again, I knowed what happened. So I pulled his trousers down and ran the old hose over him.
Oh, Jimmy, you never did.
I did, girl. I put the old hose over him and brought him home along the fields with an old sack round his waist.
He'll catch his death.
Never. He's strong as an ox.
What did you do with his trousers and things?
Put it on the compost heap. It's good for the land.
Sorry about that, old son.
Don't you go worrying about that, my manny. Get you along to bed.
Oh, and get some shoes on you too, Stan, or you'll die of cold and booze.
Is that you, Jenny? Hello, old girl. How are you?
That's you. What to worry about now, old matey. I'm well enough.
Who's that next to you?
Don't you recognise her?
Huh?
That's our Beatty, Stan.
Is that you, Beatty? Well, bless God, you've gotten fatter since I seen you last. You're going to be as fat as Jenny here. Come on over and let's look at you.
Hello, Stan, man. How are you?
Well enough, girl, well enough. You married yet?
No.
You've been courting 3 years. Why ain't you married yet?
Well, we ain't sure yet.
You ain't sure, you say? What ain't you sure of? You know how to do it, don't you?
Go on with you to bed, Stan, man.
Tell your boy he don't want to waste too much time or I'll be having you myself for breakfast on the plate.
What, Stan, man? I haven't sent you to your bed. Go on then, off with you. You can see Beatty in the morning, look.
Oh, she's fat, isn't she? I'm not saying she won't do mine, but she's fat. All right. Oh, sweetheart, I'm going. I'm just right for bed. Do you see the new bridge they're building? It's a rum old thing, isn't it?
Well, I'm ready for bed.
I can't bear sick men. They smell.
Old Stan's all right. He'd do anything for you.
I couldn't look after one, though.
In case of having to sometimes.
Ronnie's father's paralysed like that. I can't touch him.
Who's see to him, then?
His mother. She wash him, change him, feed him. Ronnie helps sometimes. I couldn't know. Ronnie say, "Christ, woman, I hope you aren't around when I'm ill." Old age terrify me.
Where are you sleeping tonight, girl?
On the couch in the front room, I suppose.
You comfortable sleeping on that old thing? You want to sleep with Jenny while you're here?
No, thanks, Jimmy. I'm all right there.
Right. Well, I'm off. Where's the evening news I brought in?
You off to bed?
Yep. Reckon I've had enough of this whole day. Where's my news?
Where'd you put it, Beatty? Here you are. Jimmy Beals. It's all tidy now.
So I see. Won't last long though, will it? Night.
Well, I am ready for my bed too. How about you, Beatty?
Yeah.
Your bed's made. You want a drink before you turn in?
No, thanks, gal.
Right then. Sleep well, gal.
Good night, Jenny.
Hey, Jenny.
What is it?
I bake you some pastries when I get to Mother's.
Father won't let you use his electricity on me. Don't talk daft.
Well, get Mother on to him. It'll be all right. Your old ovens weren't big enough anyways. Night.
Good night.
Hey, Jenny.
What? No.
Did I tell you I took up painting?
Painting?
Yes, on cardboard and canvases with brushes.
What kind of painting?
Abstract paintings, designs and patterns and such like. I can't do nothing else. I sent two on them home. I'll show you when you come round. If Mother haven't thrown them out.
You're an artist, then.
Yes. Good night.
Good night.
Then I aren't wasting my time with you, Neil.
Rum thing to get a cold in summer. What do you say, Daphne?
What do you have me say, my manny? Sit you down, boy, rest a bit.
Where's the gal?
Beattie, she ain't come yet. Didn't you see her?
Well, I'm up too early for her. She always stay the weekend with Jenny for coming home?
Most times. What are you doing up this way with a cold like that then? Get you home to bed.
I'll just come this way to look at the vicarage. Stuff's coming up for sale soon.
You still visit them things then?
Yeah. Pass the old time away. Pass the old time.
Time drag heavy, then?
Yep. Time drag heavy, you should do that. Time drag so slow, I get to thinking it's Monday when it's still Sunday. Still, I had my day, girl, I say. Yeah, I had that all right.
Yeah, you had that and a bit more, old son. I shan't grumble if I last as long as you.
Yeah, I had my day. And I'd do it all the same again, you know that? Do it all the same, I would.
Blast all your drinking and that.
Well, that's what kept me going, look. Almost, anyways. None of them young'uns will do it, hell if they will. That much life in the young'uns. A bunch of weak-kneed ruffians. None of them like living, look. None of them. You read in them old papers what go on, look, and you wonder if they can see. Do. Wonder if they got eyes to look around them. Blast the winter go and the spring come on after, and they don't see buds, and they don't smell no breeze, and they don't see gals. And when they see gals, they don't know what to do with them, they don't.
Oh, hell, they know that, all right.
Give me my young days, I'd show them. Public demonstrations I'd give.
Oh, shut you up, Stan, man.
Yeah, just give me my young days again, Daphne Bryan, and I would mount you. But they won't come again, will they, gal?
That they won't.
No, they aren't that. Rum old thing, the years, ain't they? They young'uns is all right, though. As long as they don't let no one fool them. The longer they think it out myself.
Now, don't you back home again, man. Blast, I ain't having no deadens on me. Look. Take a rum, boy. Take a rum and a drop of hot milk and get to bed. What's Mrs. Mann thinking of letting you out like this?
Oh, she's a good gal. She's right enough. She don't think I got it this bad. I'll pull this old scarf around me. Had this scarf a long time. Had it since I started with me cars. She bought it me.
Go on, off you go.
Lasted a long time. Shouldn't need it this weather, though.
Silly old bugger. Running round with a cold like that. Don't know what he's doing half the time, poor old man. Well, you've arrived then.
Didn't you get my card?
Of course, came this morning.
Then you knew I'd arrive.
Of course I did.
Pick my things come.
One suitcase, one parcel in brown paper.
My patents.
And one other case.
My pickup, do you see it?
I haven't touched a thing.
Bought myself a pickup on the HP.
Well, don't you go telling that to Pearl.
Why not?
She'll want to know why you didn't buy it off her on the club.
Oh, hell, Mother, I weren't going to have an old pickup sent me from up north somewhere when we lived next door to a gramophone shop. Mm.
Well, what bus you come on? The 10:30 one?
Yep. Picked it up on the old bridge near Jenny's.
Well, I looked for you on the 9:30 bus and you weren't on that, so I thought to myself, I bet she come on the 10:30, and you did. You see old Stan Mann?
Was that him just going up the road?
Wearing an old brown scarf, that was him.
I see him. Just as I was coming off the bus. Oh, blust! Jimmy Beale's give him a real dousing down on his allotment because he had an accident.
What, another?
Yep.
Poor old man. Well, that's what gave him that cold then. He come in here sneezing fit to knock himself down.
Poor old bugger. Hey, got any tea, Mark? I'm going to unpack. Mm.
Did you see my flowers as you come in? Got some of my hollyhocks still flowering. Creeping up the wall they are. Did you catch a glimpse of them? And my asters and geraniums. Oh, poor old Joe Simmons gave me those before he died. Lovely geraniums they are.
Yeah.
When's Ronnie coming?
Saturday week. And Mother, I'm having the whole family along to meet him when he arrives, so you patch your rows with him.
What you on about, gal? What rows with him?
You know full well what rows I mean. Them ones you have with Pearl and Susan.
Tain't so likely. Well, they have a row with me, gal. I give them no heed that I don't. There goes Sam Martin's fish fan. He'll be calling along here in an hour.
Like my new dress, Mother?
Oh, bless, gal. That's a good one, isn't it? Where'd you buy that, then?
Swan and Edgar's.
Ronnie choose it?
Yep.
He's got good taste, then.
Yep. Now, Mother, when Ronnie come, I don't want any on you to let me down. I want him to see we're proper. I'll buy you another bowl so you don't wash up in the same one you wash your hands in. And I'll get you some more tea cloth so you don't use a towel. And no swearing.
Don't he swear, then?
He swear, all right, and I don't want to hear you swear.
Have you give it up, then?
Mother, I've never swore.
Oh, go to hell, listen to her.
I never did, now. Mother, I'm telling you, listen to me. Ronnie's the best thing I've ever had, and I've tried hard for 3 years to keep a hold of him. I don't care what you do when he's gone, but don't show me up when he's here.
You speak to your father, girl.
Your father, too. Don't want Ronnie to think I come from a small-minded family. I can't bear mean people, he say. I don't care about their education. I don't care about their past, as long as their minds are large and inquisitive. As long as they're generous.
Who say that?
Ronnie.
He talk like that?
Yep.
Sounds like a preacher.
I don't care if you call me a preacher. I've got something to say and I'm going to say it. I don't care if you don't like being told things. Well, we've come to a time when we've got to say this is right and this is wrong. God in heaven, have we got to be wet all the time? Well, have we? Oh, Christ, Mother, you've still got them old wasps flying around. Ah, September, and you've still got wasps. Ah, Mammy, get rid of them into the lights.
They're after them apples on the tree outside. Now, go on. Oh. Off with it. Ah. Outside now, go on. Yeah. Woof.
There you go.
Yeah, that's got them. But I bet the bugger's be back in a jiffy, look.
Oh, yes, and I want to have a bath.
Well, when do you want that, then?
This morning.
You can't have no bath this morning. That copper won't heat up till after lunch.
Then I bake the pastries for Jenny this morning, and you can put my water on now.
I'll do that now, then. I'll get you the soft water from the tank. Here you go, Danny Oakley, to market.
Mother, I dreamt I died last night. And Heaven were at the bottom of a pond and he had to jump in and sink. And you know how afraid I am of water. It was full of film stars and soldiers and there was two rooms. In one room they was playing skiffle and I can't remember what was going on in the other. Now, who was God? It was someone we knew. A she.
Yeah. You hear what happened to the headache doctor's patient? You know what they say about him. If you've got a headache, you're all right. But if you've got something more, you've had it. Well, he told a woman not to worry about a lump she complained of under her breast. And do you know what that were? That turned out to be thrombosis. There. Thrombosis. She had to have that breast off. Yes, she did. Had to have it cut off.
Yeah. Mother, did I write and tell you I took up painting? I started 5 months ago working in gouache. Ronnie says I'm good, says I should carry on and maybe I could sell them for curtain designs. Paint, gal, he say. Paint. The world is full of people who don't do the things they want, so you paint and give us all hope. Like them?
Good colours, aren't they? Yes, girl. I ain't got no railway pal, but I asked her to change my Labour tote man. Because I wanted to give the commission to Charlie Galston. And she didn't do it. Well, if she can be like that, then I can be like that too.
Right.
You're going to do some baking, you say?
Yeah, Daphne Bryant. Present for you. Now, I need eggs, flour, sugar and Madge. I'm going to bake a sponge and give it frilling.
Oh, Penny. That's useful.
Oh, a dialogue I sing you as true as my life. Between a coal owner and a poor pitman's wife. As she were a-walking along the highway, she met a coal owner and to him she did say, "Derry down, 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 derry down." Whip the eggs till they're light yellow, he says.
Who says?
Ronnie.
What song's that then?
Coal miner's song.
I tell you what I reckon's a good song. That "I'll wait for you in the heavens blue." I reckon that's a lovely song, I do. Jimmy Simpson, he sing that.
It's like 20 other songs. It don't mean anything and it's sloshy and sickly.
Yep, I reckon that's a good song, that is.
Listen, Mother, let me see if I can explain something to you. Ronnie always say that's the point on knowing someone. It's no good having friends who scratch each other's back, he say. The excitement in knowing people is to hand on what you know and to learn what you don't know.
Learn from me, he say. I don't know much, but learn what I know. So let me try and explain to you what he explained to me.
There go the hour past 11 bus to dis. Bless, that's early.
Mother, I'm talking to you. Blast, woman, it's not often we get together and really talk. It's nearly always me listening to you telling who's dead. Now, listen for a second.
Well, go on, gal, but you always take so long to say it.
What are the words to that song?
I don't know all the words.
I'll tell you the words. I wait for you in the heavens blue as my arms are waiting now. Please come to me and I'll be true. My love shall not turn sour. I hunger, I cannot wait longer. My love shall not turn sour. There. Now, what does that mean?
Well, don't you know what that means?
I mean, what do they do to you? How do the words affect you? Are you moved? Do you find them beautiful?
Them's as good words as any.
But do they make you feel better?
Bluff, gal. Them ain't supposed to be a laxative.
Oh, I must be mad to talk with you.
Besides, it's a tune I like. Words never mean anything.
All right, the tune then. What does that do to you? Does it make your belly go gooey? Your heart throb? Your head spin with passion? Yes, passion, Mother. Know what it is? Because you won't find passion in that third-rate song. No, you won't.
Oh, well, all right, so it's third-rate, you say? Can you say why? What make that third-rate and them frilly bits of opera and concert and that first-rate? So, did I write that song? B.T. Bryant, you do go up and down in your spirits, and I don't know what's got into you, girl. No, I don't.
I don't know either, Mother. I'm worried about Ronnie, I suppose. Well, I have that same row with him. I ask him exactly the same questions. What make a pop song third rate? And he answers, and I don't know what he's talking about. Something about registers. Something about commercial world blunting our responses. Give yourself time, woman, he say. Time. You can't learn how to live overnight. I don't even know, he say. And half the world don't know, but we got to try. Try, he say. Because we're still suffering from the shock of two world wars and we don't know it. Talk, he say. And look and listen and think and ask questions. But Jesus, I don't know what questions to ask or how to talk. And he gets so riled and yet sometimes so nice. It's all going up in flames, he say. But I'm going to make bloody sure I save someone from the fire.
Well, I'm sure I don't know what he's on about. Turn to your baking, girl. Look, get you done. Father will be home for his lunch in an hour. I'll wait for you in the heavens blue as my arms are waiting now. Do, 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 do.
No! Do, do, no, do, Mother, do. Don't go like that. I wait for you in the heavens blue as my arms are waiting now. Please come to me. And I'll be true. My love shall not turn sour. I hunger, I cannot wait longer. My love shall not turn sour.
Well, thank God you come home sometimes, gal. You do bring a little life with you anyway.
Mother, I ain't never heard you express a feeling like that.
Well, don't want no feelings, girl. Is your father home already?
Hello, Poppy Bryant.
Hello, Biddy. You're here then?
What are you home so early for?
Oh, the old guts ache again.
Well, what is it?
Last woman, I don't know what 'tis no more than you, do I?
Go to the doctor, man, I keep telling you.
What is it, Poppy Bryant?
You got guts, eh?
But what's it from?
I just said I don't know.
Get you to a doctor, man. Don't be so soft. You don't want to be kept from work, do you?
Oh, then I don't. No, I don't. Well, I just the old stand man picked up, and that's upset me, enough.
Picked up, you say?
Well, didn't you hear the ambulance?
There. Oh, I hear it, but I didn't say nothing. Was that for Stan Man, then?
I was sighting along with Jack Stones, and we see this here figure on the side of the road there, and I say, that's a rump ship in the road, Jack. And he says, blast, that's old Stan Man from Heybrid. And whoa. Of course, soon every sea watch were. He rushed off for an ambulance, and I waited alongside Stan.
He just left here.
Oh, I see it coming. He come in here and I shoved him off home. Get you to bed and take some rum and a drop of hot milk, I tell him.
Is he gonna die?
Wouldn't surprise me. That it wouldn't. Blast, he looked done in.
Poor old fella. Shame, though, isn't it?
When'd you arrive, Beady?
She come on the 10:30 bus. I looked for her on the 9:30 bus and she weren't on that. So I thought to myself, I bet she'd come on the 10:30. She did.
Yeah.
You going to stay away all day?
No, I am. I've got to go back because one of the old sows is pigging. Expect she'll be having them in a couple of hours. Got a sow with a litter of 22.
22? Oh, Pop, can I come see this afternoon?
Yeah.
I thought you was having a bath.
Oh, yes. I forgot. I'll come by tomorrow, then.
Oh, they'll be there. What are you doing, gal?
She's baking a sponge. Now, leave her be.
Oh, you learnt something in London, then?
Ronnie taught me.
Well, where is Ronnie, then?
He's coming on Saturday a week, and the family's going to be here to greet him.
All on him?
All on him.
Well, that'd be a rum gathering, then.
And we've got to be on our best behaviour.
No cussing and swearing?
No.
No.
Blast, I shan't talk, then.
Oh, Mr. Healy, yes. Jack, it's Mr. Healy. Oh, do come in, sir.
You were taken ill.
It's all right, sir. Only gut's ache. Won't be long going. The pigs is all seen to. We're just waiting for the old sow to start.
What time are you expecting it?
Oh, she won't come before 2 this afternoon. No, she won't be much before that.
You're sure you're well, Jack? Oh, I've been thinking that's too much for you, carting those pails round the yard.
No, that ain't too heavy, sir. Cost 10. You don't want to worry. I'll be along after lunch. It's just an old gut's ache, that's all. Seeing the doctor tonight. Eat too fast, probably.
If you're sure you're right, then I'll put young Daniels off. You can manage without him now I've fixed a new pump in.
Oh, I can manage, sir. Of course I can.
All right then, Jack. I'll be with you around 2:00. I want to take the old one out of number 3 and stick her with the others in 17. The little ones won't need her, will they? And then we'll have them sorted out tomorrow.
That's right, sir. They can go on their own now, they can. I'll see to it tomorrow.
Right then, Jack. Oh, you hear Stan Mann died.
He died already? But I saw him off in the ambulance no more than 30 minutes ago.
Died on the way to hospital. Jack Stones told me. Lived in Heybrid, didn't he?
Alongside my daughter.
Well, good morning, Mrs. Bryant.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Healy. There was Mr. Healy. The new young manager.
I know it, Mother.
He's dead then.
Oh. Not Stan Man.
Young Healy just told me.
Well, I go to hell. And he was just here, look. Just here alongside me, not more than an hour past.
Rum, isn't it?
Oh, hell, I hate dying.
He were a good old bull, though. Yes, he was. A good old stick, there.
He used to ride me round on his horse. Always full of life and jokes. Tell your boy he want to hurry up and marry you, he say to me, or I'll be having you myself. On a plate.
He were a one for smut, though.
I was talking with him last night. Only last night he was telling me how he caught me pinching some gooseberries off his patch. Now he gave me a whole apron full. I went off in one of his fields nearby and ate the lot. Blast, he say.
You had the old guts ache, and he laugh. He sat there laughing away to himself.
I can remember that. Oh, hell, Jenny, you'll miss him. He's always to pop in and out of theirs.
Seem like the whole world gone suddenly dead, don't it?
Rum, innit?
You say young Healy tell you that? He's a nice man, Mr. Healy is. Yes, he is. A good sort. I like him.
You sound like he was threatening to sack father. I don't know about being nice.
Yeah, that's what I say. Get a rise and they start cutting down the men, all the overtime.
The union magazines come.
I don't want that old thing.
Why can't you do something to stop the sackings?
You can't. You can't. That's what I say. You can't. Sharp as a pig's scream they are. You just can't do nothing.
Mother, where's the bacon tin?
When are we going to eat that?
You went. It's for Jenny Beals.
You aren't making that for Jenny, are you?
I promised her.
Not with my electricity, you aren't.
But, Poppy, I promised.
That's no matters. Well, I aren't spending money on electricity bills so you make every Tom, Dick and Harry a sponge cake. That I am.
Don't be so soft, man. It won't take more than half hour's baking.
I don't care what it'll take. I say I aren't letting her. Jenny wants cake, she can make them herself, so put that away, Beady, and use it for something else.
You want to watch what you're saying, off, because I live here too.
I know all about that, but I pay the electricity bill and I say she ain't baking.
Oh, Poppy, it's one
no,
cake.
No, I say.
Well, Mummy, do something. How can he be so mean?
Bless me. You ain't the meanest old sod that walks this earth. Your own daughter... And you won't let her use your oven? You bloody old hypocrite.
You pay the bills and then you call names.
Oh, I ever seen a new god, only know. Yes, and he never warned me. Bloody old hypocrite.
You pay the bills and then you call names, I say.
Well, I'm £4.10 a week. You want me to keep you and pay bills? £4.10 he gave me. God knows what he did with the rest. I don't know how much he's got. I don't. No, I don't. Bloody old hypocrite.
Let's have grub. Not so much for the lip, woman.
That's how he talked to me. When he do talk, because, you know, he don't ever talk more than he have to, and when he do say something, it's either, how much this cost, or lend us a couple of bob. Oh, we've got the money, but sooner than break into that, he'd borrow off me, bloody old miser. What you want to cry for, gal? It ain't worth it. Bless you, don't want to let an old hypocrite like him upset. You know you don't. I'll get my back on you, my manny, see if I don't. You won't get away with no tricks on me.
Present for you.
Oh, I'd give him presents. That I would. I'd walk out and disown him. Beatty, now stop you crying, gal. He ain't worth crying for, that he ain't. Stop it, I say, and we'll have lunch. Or have you lost your appetite, gal?
Nope. Nope, that I ain't. Christ, I can eat, all right.
Ask him what he wants for his tea.
She don't ever ask me before. What's she want to ask me now for?
Tell him it's his stomach I'm thinking about. I don't want him complaining to me about the food I cook.
Tell her it's no matters to me. I ain't got no pain now besides.
Mother, is that water ready for my bath?
Where are you having it?
In the kitchen, of course.
Bless girl, you can't bath in this kitchen during the day. What if someone called at the door?
Well, put the curtain up then. I shan't be no more than 10 minutes.
Besides, he wants to see her in a dicky suit.
I know men as a pay to see me in my dicky suit. Don't you think I got a nice dicky suit? What? Poppy, stop it. Ryan, stop it now.
now.
Tell him he can go as soon as he like. I want your bath over and done with.
Oh, Mother, stop this nonsense, too. If you want to tell him something, tell him, not me.
I don't want to speak to him. Hell if I do.
Father, get the bath in for me, please. Mother, where's them curtains? I'm going to wear my new dress and go across the fields to see Frankie and Pearl.
Frankie won't be there. What you on about? He'll be getting the harvest in.
You making anything for the harvest festival?
Your mother don't ever do anything for the harvest festival. Don't you know that by now?
Get you to work, Father Bryant, so I'm going to plunge in water and I'll make a splash.
Tell him we got kippers for tea, and if he don't want none, let him say so now.
She says it's kippers for tea.
Tell her I'll eat kippers.
He says he'll eat kippers. Right then, Mother. You get cold water and I pull the hot.
You hear about Jimmy Skelton? They say he's been arrested for accosting some men in the village.
Jimmy Skelton, what owned the pub?
That's him. I know all about Jimmy Skelton, though. He were a young boy when I were a young girl. He'd been to law before, you know. Yes, and he won the day too. Won the day he did. I don't take no notice, though. Him and me gets on all right. What did Ronnie's mother do with her time?
She got a sick husband to look after.
Is she an educated woman?
Educated? No. She's foreigner. No, ain't Ronnie educated neither. He's an intellectual. Failed all his exams. They read and things.
Oh, they don't do nothing then.
Do nothing? We tell you what Ronnie do. He worked at all hours in a hot old kitchen. And he teach kids in a club to act and jive and such. And he don't stop at weekends neither, because then there's political meetings and such. I get breathless trying to keep up with him. Oh, Mother, that's hot.
Oh, I'll get you some cold then.
No. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, the water's so soft, Mother.
Yeah.
So soft and smooth. I'm in.
Well, don't stay in too long, gal. Well, here go the 20 minutes past one bus.
Oh, Mother, my bath cubes. I forgot my bath cubes in the little case by my pickup.
I shall never forget when I first heard on it. I was in the village and I was talking to Reggie Fowler. I say to him, oh, but I'll talk about Jimmy, isn't there? Disgusting, I say. Still, if somebody want to make some easy money, you'd expect that in a village, wouldn't you? Yes, I say to him, a lot of talk. And he stood there and he were looking at me and looking as I was talking. And then he say, Mrs., he say, I were one of the victims. Well, you could have hit me over the head with a hammer. I was one of the victims, he said.
Oh, Mother, these bath cubes smell beautiful. I could stay here all day.
Still, Jimmy's a good fella with it all. Do anything for you. I always partner him at whist drives.
Mother? What are we going to make Ronnie when he comes?
Well, what do we like?
He likes trifle and he likes steak and kidney pie.
Oh, we'll make that then. So long as he don't complain of the gut's ache. Frankie have it too sometimes, and Jenny's husband, James.
But you know why? Y'all eat too much. The Londoners think we live a healthy life, but they don't know we stuff ourselves silly till our guts ache.
But you know what's wrong with Jimmy Beals? It's indigestion. He eat too fast.
What the hell's indigestion doing tween his shoulder blades?
Cause some people get it so bad it go right through their stomach to the back.
No. You don't get indigestion in the back, Mother. What are you on about?
Don't you tell me, gal. I had it.
Oh! Oh! Oh, I got soap in my eye. Oh, Mother, the towel. Quickly, Mother, quickly, the towel.
Oh, you heard that Ma Buckley has been taken to mental hospital in Norwich. Poor old dear. If there's one thing I can't abide, that's mental cases. They frighten me, they do. Can't face them. I'd sooner follow a man to the churchyard than the mental hospital. That's a terrible thing to see a person lose their reason, that is. Well, I tell you what. Down where I used to live, down the other side of the hall, years ago, we moved in next to an old woman. I only had Jenny and Frank then. And this woman, she was the sweetest of people. We used to talk and do errands for each other. Oh, she was a sweet old dear. And then one afternoon, I was going out to get my washing in and I saw her. She was standing in a tub of water up to her neck. She was up to her neck. And her eyes had that glazed, wondering look. And she stared straight at me, she did. Straight at me. Well, do you know what? I was struck dumb. I was struck dumb with shock. What with her being so nice all this while, the sudden coming on her like that in the tub fair upset me. It did. And people tell me afterwards she'd been going in and out of hospital for years. Bless, that scare me. That scare me so bad she nearly took me round the bend with her.
Oh, there. I'm going to have a bath every day when I'm married. Look at that. Ain't your nose a funny thing? And your ears? And your arms? Mm. And your legs, aren't they funny things?
Oh, sticking out of a lump. Turn that squit off.
Mother, I could kill you when you do that. No wonder I don't know anything about anything. You never give me nothing that was worthwhile. Nothing. I never knowed anything about the news because you always switched off after the headlines. I never read any good books because there was never any in the house. I can't even speak English proper because you never talked about anything important.
What's got into you new girl?
God in heaven, Mother. You live in the countryside, but you've got no majesty. You spend your time among green fields, you grow flowers and you breathe fresh air and you've got no majesty. You go on and you go on talking and talking so your mind's cluttered up with nothing and you shut out the world. What kind of life did you give me?
Well, bless God, I weren't no teacher.
But you hindered. You didn't open one door for me. Even his mother cared more for me than what you did. Beatty, she say, Beatty, why don't you take up evening classes and learn something other than waitressing? Yes, she say, you won't ever regret learning things. But did you care what job I took up or whether I learned anything? You didn't even think it was necessary.
I fed you. I clothed you. I took you out to the sea. What more do you want? We're only country folk, you know. We ain't got no big things here, you know.
Squit! Squit, it makes no difference, country or town. All the town girls I ever worked with were just like me. Makes no difference, country or town, that squit. Oh. Do you know, when I used to work at the holiday camp and I used to sit down with the other girls to write a letter, we used to sit and discuss what we wrote about and we all agreed, all on us, that we started... just a few lines to let you know, and then we'd get on to the weather, and then we get stuck, so we write about each other, and after a page and a half, a big scrawl, end up hoping this finds you as well as it leaves me. There.
We couldn't say any more. Thousands of things happening at this holiday camp and we couldn't find the words for them. All of us the same. Hundreds of girls. And one day we're going to be mothers. And you still talk to me of Jimmy Skelton and the old woman in the tub. Do you know, I've heard that story a dozen times. A dozen times, Mother. Can you hear yourself? Oh, Jesus. How can I bring Ronnie to this house?
Bless girl, if Ronnie don't like us...
Oh, he'll like you all right. He like most people. We'd have loved old Stan Man. Old Stan Man would have understood everything Ronnie talk about. Plus, that man liked living. Besides, Ronnie say it's too late for the old uns to learn. But he says it's up to us young uns, and them of us as know have got to take them of us as don't know and bloody well teach them.
I bet he have a hard job changing you, gal.
He's not trying to change me, Mother. You can't change people, he say. You can only give them some love and hope that they'll take it. And that's what he's trying to do with me, and I'm trying to understand. Can you see that, Mother?
I don't see what that's got to do with music, though.
Oh my God. I show you. Sit you down in the armchair, gal, and I show you. Don't start ironing or reading or nothing. Just sit you down and be prepared to learn something. You aren't too old. Oh, Mother, stop doing things. Sit down, woman, and listen. Sit. That's the trouble, you see. We ain't ever prepared to learn anything. We close our minds the minute anything unfamiliar appears. See, I could never listen to music. I used to like some on it, but then I'd lose patience. I'd go to bed in the middle of a symphony, or my mind would wander because the music didn't mean anything to me. I'd go to bed or I'd start talking. Sit back, woman, he'd say. Listen to it. Let it happen to you, and you'll grow as big as the music itself.
Blessed, he talked like a book.
And sometimes you talk as though you didn't know where the moon or the stars was. Now listen, this is a simple piece of music. It's not highbrow, but it's full of living. You want to dance to it. Oh, and that's what he says socialism is. Christ, he says socialism isn't talking all the time. It's living, it's singing, it's dancing, it's being interested in what go on around you. It's being concerned about people and the world. Now listen. Listen to it, it's simple, isn't it? Can you call that squit?
Don't say it's all squid.
You don't have to frown because it's alive.
No, not all on it's squid.
But see how the other tune comes in? Hear it? Two simple tunes, one after the other.
I'm not saying it's all squid.
And now listen. It goes together. The two tunes together, they knit. They're perfect. Oh, don't it make you want to dance? Listen to that, Mother. Is it difficult? Is it squit? It's light. It makes me feel light and confident and happy. Oh, God, Mother, we could all be so much more happy and alive. Mother, what are you on at now?
I'm just putting these glass cherries on the trifold.
Well, come on, look, you'll be here at 4:30.
Don't you fret, gal. Another hour and a half yet. Postman haven't gone by. There.
He like trifle, you say?
He love it.
Well, he need to, because there's plenty on it. Yes, there is. There's plenty on it. Blast, listen to that weather.
It's raining again.
Raining? Raining fit to drown you. See, there go the 3 o'clock.
Come on, Mother, get you changed. I want us all ready in time.
Lest you'd think it were the bloody Prince of Egypt coming.
That's a good job we didn't try to cut across the field.
Oh. Oh,
yeah. Well, where are you all? Come on, I'm hungry.
Shut you up, Ball. You only just had lunch.
Oh, I'm hungry again. Well, where is this article we're come to see?
He ain't arrived.
Wait, what a hurry, because I'm hungry.
You're always hungry.
What did you say he is? A strong socialist?
Yes.
And a Jew boy?
Yes.
That's a queer mixture, then.
Well, I hope he don't talk politics all the time.
Have you had a letter from him yet?
Oh, stop it, Frank. You know she haven't heard.
Well, that's a rum boyfriend. Why don't write? Funny looking painting.
You watch out, it'll bite you back.
Oh, hail there, sister. I was then contemplating your masterpiece.
Well, don't contemplate too long, because you ain't having it.
Blast. I set my whole heart on it.
That's a nice frock, Beady.
Where's the rest of our mighty clan?
Jenny and Jimmy will be along soon. Susie and Stan mightn't come.
And what's wrong with them?
Don't talk to me about it, because I had enough. Susie won't talk to Mother.
That make nearly 18 months he haven't spoke.
Whatever did you and Mother fall out, Pearl?
Because Mother's so bloody stubborn, that's why.
Because one day she wanted to change her Labour tote man, that's why, and she asked me to do it for her. So I said, all right, I'll do it, but it'll take a couple of weeks. And then she gets riled because she says I didn't want to change it for her. So then I ask her why she didn't change him herself, and she say because she's too ill to go all the way to see John Clayton to tell him. And then she say to me, why don't you think I'm ill? And I say, I know there's a tackler's of me, but I say, no, Mother. You don't look ill to me. She hasn't spoke to me since. I only hope she don't snub me this afternoon.
Well, she tell me a different story.
Mother's always quarrelling. She ain't spoke to her own mother for 3 years. Not since Granny Dykes took Jenny in when she had that illegitimate girl, Daphne.
Oh, Christ, what a bloody family.
A mighty clan, I say.
Hello, Frankie. Hello, Pearl. Hello, Beatty.
And more of the mighty clan.
Mighty clan, you say? Mighty bloody daft, you mean? Mm-hmm. Well, where is he?
The mysterious stranger has not yet come. We await.
Well, I ain't waiting long. I'm hungry.
That's all this family of Bryants ever do, is think of their guts.
Have you formed your association yet?
What association's this?
Well, ain't he told you?
Shut you up, Frank Bryant, or you'll get me hung.
Oh, a mighty association. A mighty one. I'll tell you. One day, you see, we was all sitting around in the pub. There's Jimmy, me, Starkey, Johnny Oates and Bonky Dawson. Mm. We'd had a few drinks and Jimmy was feeling, well, he was feeling you know what. The itch. He had the itch. And he started complaining about ham, ham, ham all the time. So then Bonky Dawson say, blast, he say, there must be women about who feel the same. And Starkey, he say, well, of course there are. Only how do you tell? And then we was all quiet a while, just thinking on it. When suddenly Jimmy say, we ought to start an association of them as need a bit now and then. And we ought to wear a badge, he say. And when you see a woman wearing a badge, you know she need a bit too.
Now that's enough, Frank, or I'll hit you over the stump.
No, not content with just that, old Jimmy then say, and we ought to have a password, he say, to indicate how bad off you are. So listen to what he suggests. He suggests you go up to any one of these women what's wearing a badge, and you say, how many lumps of sugar do you take in your tea? And if she say 2, then you know she ain't too badly off, but she's willing. But if she say 4, then you know she's in as bad a state as what you are. You see?
He'd have a fit if she said she took 16 lumps, though, wouldn't he?
Where's Mother Brian?
Upstairs, changing.
Where's Father Brian?
Tending the pigs.
You're lucky to have my presence, you know.
Oh?
A little more sunlight have been getting in the harvest.
Well, what did you think of that storm last night? All that thunder and lightning, it didn't stop once.
Oh, Ronnie love it, you know. He sit and watch it for bloody hours.
He's a queer article, eh?
He do sound a rum man, don't he?
Well, you'll soon see.
Have you got any sisters?
One marriage, live not far from here.
She live in the country. A town girl. Whatever for?
Her husband make furniture by hand.
Can't he do that in London?
Ronnie say they think London's an inhuman place.
So it is. So it is.
Mm. Here comes Father Bryant.
And this be the male head of the mighty Bryant clan.
Last. You're all here soon, then.
Well, get you changed. Luke will be along any minute.
Shut you up, gal. I'll go when I'm ready. I don't want you pushing me.
This be the female head of the mighty Bryant clan.
Come on, Brian, get you changed. We're all ready, look.
Lass, there go the other one. Who is he, this boy? That's what I want to know.
He's upset. I can see it. I can tell it in his voice. Come on, Brian, what's the matter?
There ain't much up with me. What's on about, woman? Now, leave me be, you want me changed, look.
Well, if there ain't much up with you, I'll marry some other.
Healy been at you, Pop.
The pig's dying.
There's something serious or he wouldn't be so happy looking.
I've been put on casual labour.
Well, ain't that a sod now?
Your guts, I suppose.
I tell him it's no odds. That there's no pain. Well, that don't matter, as Jackie says. I aren't having you break up completely on me. You go on casually saying if you gets better, you can come on the pigs again.
That's half pay, then.
Can't you get another job?
He's been with them for 18 years.
Well, there must be something else you can do. What about cowman again?
Bill Waddington do that, say? He's been at it this last 6.5 years.
That's no good upsetting yourself, Beatty. That happened all the time, gal.
Well, we told her when she was at ours, didn't we?
All right, get you on up. There ain't nothing we can do. We'll worry on it later. We always manage. It's getting late, look.
Can he swim? Does he bloody need to? It's raining fit to drown you.
Well, shall we have a little cup of tea while we're waiting?
I'll go and put the kettle on.
Who's looking after your Daphne?
Old Mother Man. Next door.
Poor old. Dear. How's she feeling now?
Now she took it bad. Him too. He think he were to blame.
Guess that weren't his fault. Don't be so daft, Jimmy Beals. Don't you go fretting yourself, you make us all feel queer, look. You done nothing wrong, though. You weren't far off dying sides.
They weren't even married, were they?
No, they never were. She started looking after him after he had that first stroke, and she just stayed.
Lost her job because of it, too.
Yeah, she would, though, wouldn't she? She was a state-registered nurse or something, wasn't she? Mm.
Soon ever the authorities got to hear about that, they told her to pack up living with him or quit her job, see?
Too bloody daft, I reckon. What difference does it make whether she married him or not?
I reckon you miss him, Jenny.
Well, hell yes. That I do. You were a good old boy. Always joking and buying the kids sweets. Do you know, I cried when I heard it. Mm. That I did. That fair shook me. That it did. There.
Who's looking after your kids then, Pearl?
Father.
Who do you think will win today?
Well, Norwich wouldn't.
No.
Well, kettle's on.
Have his sister got any children?
Two boys.
She want to get on top one night, then they'll have girls.
Oh, shut you up, Timmy Bales.
Had another little win last night.
When was this?
Fireman's Wist Drive. Won 7-6 in the knockout.
Yeah.
I see that boy what assaulted the old woman in London got 6 years.
Lust, he need to. I'd have given him 6 years and a bit more. Bloody old hooligans. Do you give me the chance to pass sentence and I'd soon clear the streets of crime, that I would. Yes, that I would.
All right, Mother. We'll give you a chance. Yeah, hold that. There you are. You're a judge. Now sum up and pass judgment.
I'd put him in prison for life.
You got to sum up, though. Plus, you can't just stick a man in prison and say nothing.
Goodbye, I'd say.
Come on, Mother, speak up. Anybody can say go to prison, but you want to be a judge, well, you show a judge's understanding then. Talk. Come on, talk.
Well, I... Yes, I... Well, oh, don't be so soft.
The mighty head is silent.
Well, yes, she would be, wouldn't she?
What do you mean I would be? You don't expect me to know what they say in courts, do you? I aren't no judge.
Then why do you sit there and pass judgment on people? If someone do something wrong, you don't stop and think why. You just sit there and pass easy judgment, no. Thinking, no. Discussing, just off with his head. Well, look at Father getting less money. I don't see the family getting together and discussing it. It's a problem, but which one of you said it concerns you?
No, don't it concern them? I aren't having people mixing my matter.
They aren't just people, they're your family, for Christ's sake.
No matters, I aren't having it.
Mother,
now shut you up, Beatty Bryant, and leave it alone. I shall talk when I have to, and I never shall do, so there now.
You're so stubborn.
So you keep saying.
You brewed up yet?
Oh, hell, yes, I forgot the tea, look.
Well, now we're all waiting on him.
Don't look as if Susie's coming.
Stubborn cow.
Have you seen Susie's television set yet?
No, I've seen it.
Yeah, did you know also that when they first had her, they took her to bed with them? Mm-hmm. They lay in bed with a dish of chocolate biscuits.
Yeah, but now, they don't bother. They say they've had it a year now, and all the old programmes they saw in the beginning, they see it again.
Bruiser!
Oh, for Christ's sake, stop gossiping.
I'm not gossiping. I'm making an intelligent observation about the state of television out there.
So were you now?
You was doing nothing of the sort. You was gossiping.
Oh, I see. So I'm better in quoting all the time.
I don't quote all the time. I just tell you what Ronnie say.
Take it easy, girl. He's coming soon. Don't need to go all jumping and frantic.
Here, let me set you a problem.
Here we go.
While we're waiting on him, I'll set you a moral problem. You know what a moral problem is? It's a problem about right and wrong. I get you buggers thinking if it's the last thing I do. Now, there are four huts.
What?
Huts. You know, them little things you live in. Now, there are two huts on one side of a stream, and two huts on the other side. On the one side live a girl in one hut and a wise man in the other. On the other side live Tom in one hut and Archie in the other. Oh, also, there's a ferryman what run a boat across the river. Now, listen. Concentrate, Mother. The girl loves Archie, but Archie don't love the girl, and Tom love the girl, but the girl don't go much on Tom.
Poor bugger.
And one day, the girl hears that Archie, who don't love her, remember, is going to America. So she decides to try once more to persuade him to take her with him. So listen to what she do. She go to the ferryman to ask him to take her across, and he say, I will. But you must take off all your clothes.
Well, whatever do we want to ask that for?
Well, It doesn't matter why, you do.
Now, the girl doesn't know what to do, so she asks the wise man for advice, and he say, you must do what you think best.
Well, that weren't much advice, then.
No matters, he give it. So the girl thinks about it, and being so in love, she decides to strip.
Oh, I see.
Well, this is a rum house story, isn't it?
Shut you up, Father, and listen. Now, where was I?
She was stripping.
Oh, yes. So the girl strips, and the ferryman takes her over. He doesn't touch her or nothing. He just takes her across, and she rushes to Archie's hut to implore him to take her with him and to declare her love again. Now, Archie promises to take her with him, and so she sleeps with him the night. But when she wake up in the morning, he've gone. She's left all alone. So she go across to Tom's hut to explain her plight and ask for help. But soon ever he knowed what she've done, he chuck her out too, see? So there she is, poor little gal. She left with no clothes, no friends, no hope of staying alive. Now, this is the question. Think about it, don't answer quick. Who is the person most responsible for her plight?
Well, can't she get back?
No, she can't do anything. She's finished. She's had it. Now, who is to blame?
Don't be you drinking on your tea, Lord. Don't you worry about no naked gals. The gal won't get cold, but the tea will.
Well, I say the girl's most responsible.
Why?
She made the choice, didn't she?
Well, yeah, but the old ferryman made her take off her clothes.
Yes, but she didn't have to.
Blast woman, she were in love.
Oh, good old Frank.
The hell if I know?
Jimmy?
Don't ask me, girl. I follow decisions. I ain't making none.
Father?
Well, I don't know what you're on about.
Mother?
Drink you your tea, girl. Never you mind what I think.
Well, what did Ronnie say?
He say the gal is responsible only for making the decision to strip off and go across, but that she do that because she's in love. After that, she's the victim of two phony men. One who don't love her, but take advantage of her. And one who say he love her, but don't love her enough to help her. And the one who say he love her, but don't do nothing, is most to blame because he was the last one she could turn to.
I got it all worked out, then.
No one do that bad that you can't forgive them.
He's sure of himself, then.
We can't be sure of everything, but certain basic things we must be sure about, or we'll die!
You think everyone's got to listen, then?
People must listen. It's no good talking to the converted. Everyone must argue and think, or they'll stagnate and rot, and the rot will spread!
Look at that, then.
If wanting the best things in life mean being a snob, then glory, hallelujah, I'm a snob! But I'm not a snob, Beatty. I just believe in human dignity and tolerance and cooperation and equality and...
He's a communist.
Huh? I'm a socialist! Oh, he's here! He's here! Oh, the fool. The silly old fool. Trust him to write a letter on the day he's coming. Yeah. Pass off for you, Mother.
Well, that'll be your dress. From the club.
Well, what dress is this, then? I didn't ask for no dress from the club.
Yes, you did. You did ask me. Didn't she ask me, Frank? Why, we were going through the book together, Mother.
No matter what we was doing together, I aren't having it.
But, Mother, you distinctly...
I aren't having it, so there, now. Oh. What's the matter with you, gal? Is that a raid? My dear Beatty, it wouldn't really work, would it? My ideas about handing on a new kind of life to people are quite useless and romantic, if I'm really honest. Perhaps I am asking too much of you. If I were a healthy human being, it might have been all right, but most of us intellectuals are pretty sick and neurotic, as you have often observed, and we couldn't build a world even if we were given the reins of government. Not yet, anyway. I don't blame you for being stubborn. I don't blame you for ignoring every suggestion I ever made. I only blame myself for encouraging you to believe we could make a go of it. But now 2 weeks of your not being here has given me the cowardly chance to think about it and decide...
Shut up!
Oh. So we know now, do we?
What's this then? Isn't he coming?
Yes, we know now.
Ain't he coming, I ask?
No, he ain't coming!
Well, blessed girl. Didn't you know this was going to happen?
So we're stubborn, are we?
Look, shut you up, Mother. The girl's upset.
Well, I can see that. I can see that. He ain't coming. I can see that. And we're here like bloody fools. I can see that.
Did you quarrel all that much, Beatty?
He always wanted me to help him, but I never could. Once he tried to teach me to type, but soon ever I made a mistake, I'd give up. I'd give up every time. I couldn't bear making mistakes. I don't know why, but I couldn't bear making mistakes.
So we're hearing the other side of the story now, are we?
He used to suggest I start to copy real objects onto my paintings instead of only abstract. I never took heed.
Oh, so you never took heed?
Oh, shut you up, I say.
He gave me a book sometimes. I never bothered to read it.
What about all this discussion we heard?
Oh, I never discussed things. He used to beg me to discuss things, but I never saw the point on it.
And he got riled because of that.
I didn't have any patience.
Now it's coming out.
I couldn't help him. I never knew patience. Once he looked at me with terrified eyes and he said, "We've been together for 3 years, but you don't know who I am or what I'm trying to say, and you don't care, do you?"
And there she was, telling me.
I never knew what he wanted. Didn't think it mattered.
And there she was, getting us to solve that moral problem, and now we know she didn't even do it herself. That's a rum one, isn't it?
The apple don't fall far from the tree, then it don't.
So you're proud on it? You sit there smug and you're proud that a daughter of yours weren't able to help her boyfriend? Look at you. All of you, you can't say anything. You can't even help your own flesh and blood. Your daughter's been ditched. It's your problem as well, isn't it? I'm part of this family, aren't I, woman? Help me then. Give me some words of comfort, Christ. Talk to me. For God's sake, talk to me, someone.
Well, what do we do now?
We sit down and we eat. That's what we do now.
He's a sort. We can't leave the girl crying like that.
Well, bless it, it's my fault she's crying. I did what I could. I prepared all this food. I'd have treated him as my own son if he'd come, but he haven't. Got a whole family gathering here especially to greet him. All on us, look. But he haven't come. So what am I supposed to do?
My God, Mother, I hate you. The only thing I ever wanted and I couldn't keep a hold of him. I didn't know how. I hate you. I hate...
There. I had enough.
Well, what do you want to do that for?
I had enough. All this time she's been home, she's been telling me I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I haven't understood half of what she said and I've had enough. She talk about being part of this family, but she've never lived at home since she left school, look. and she'd go away from here and fill her head full of high-class squit, and then it turned out she don't understand any on it herself. It turned out she'd do just the same thing she say I do. Well, am I right, gal? I'm right, and I. When you tell me I was stubborn, what you mean was he told you you was stubborn, eh? When you tell me I don't understand, you mean you don't understand, isn't it? When you tell me I don't make no effort, you mean you don't make no effort. Well, what are you blaming me for? Blaming me all the time. I haven't been responsible for you since you left home. You've been on your own. Oh, she think I like it. She do. She think I like being cooped up in this house all day. Well, I'm telling you, my girl, I don't. There. And if I had the chance to be away working somewhere, the whole lot of yous could go to hell, a lot of yous. All right, so I am a bloody fool. All right, so I know it. A whole 2 weeks I've been told it. Well, so then I can't help you, my gal. No, I can't. And you get used to that once and for all.
No, you can't, Mother. I know you can't.
I suppose doing all those things for him weren't enough. I suppose he couldn't be satisfied with goodness only.
Oh, what's the use?
Well, don't just sit there and sigh, girl, like you was Lady Never Shit. I ask you something. Answer me. You do the talking then. Go on. You say you know something we don't know, so you do the talking. Come on, girl, talk. Come on. Talk, gal.
Oh, I can't, Mother. You're right. The apple don't fall far from the tree, do it? You're right. I'm like you. Stubborn. Empty, with no tools for living. I ain't got no roots in nothing. I come from a family of fab labourers and I ain't got no roots. Just like town people, just a mass of nothing.
Roots, gal? What do you mean, roots?
Roots. Roots, roots, Christ, Frankie. You work in the fields all day, you should know about growing things. Roots. The things you come from. The things that feed you. The things that make you proud of yourself. Roots.
You got a family, ain't you?
Well, I'm not talking about family roots. I mean, the... I mean, oh, look, ever since it begun, the world's been growing, hasn't it? Things have happened, things have been discovered, people have been thinking and improving and inventing, but what do we know about any of it all?
What is she on about?
What do you mean, what am I on about? I'm talking, listen to me. I'm telling you... The world's been growing for 2,000 years and we haven't noticed it. I'm telling you that we don't know what we are or where we come from. I'm telling you that something has cut us off from the beginning. I'm telling you that we've got no roots. Blimey, Joe. We've all got large allotments. We all grow things all around us. We should know about roots. Oh, Mother, you know how to keep flowers alive, don't you? Jimmy, you know how to keep the roots of your veggies strong and healthy. It's not just the corn that needs strong roots. It's us as well. But what have we got? Go on, tell me. What have we got? We don't know where we push up from and we don't bother neither.
Well, I aren't grumbling.
Well, you say you aren't. Yes, you say so, but look at you. What have you done since you come in? Have you said anything? I mean, have you really said or done anything to show you're alive? Alive, blast, what do it mean? Do you know what it mean? Any of you? Shall I tell you what Susie said when I went and saw her? She said she don't care if that old atom bomb drop and she die. That's what she say. And you know why she say it? I tell you why, because if she had to care, then she'd have to do something, and she'd find that too much effort.
Yes, she do. She can't be bothered. She's too bored with it all. And that's what we all are. We're all too bored.
Blessed woman. Bored, you say? Bored? You say Susie's bored with a radio and a television and that? Oh, go to hell if she's bored.
Oh, yes, we turn on a radio or TV set, maybe, or go to the pictures if them's love stories or gangsters, but isn't that the easiest way out? Anything so long as we don't have to make the effort. Well, am I right? You know I'm right. Education and only books and music, it is. It's asking questions. All the time. Oh, there are millions of us all over the country and no one, not one of us is asking questions. We're all taking the easiest way out. Everyone I ever worked with took the easiest way out. We don't fight for anything. We're so mentally lazy we might as well be dead. Plus we are dead. And you know what Ronnie says sometimes? Sometimes he says it serves us right. That's what he says. It's our own bloody fault.
So that's us summed up then. So we know where we are then.
Well, if he don't think we count for nothing, then it's as well he didn't come. There. That's as well he didn't come.
Oh, he think we count all right. Living in mystic communion with nature. Living in mystic bloody communion with nature indeed. But us count. Count, Mother. I wonder, do we? Do you think we really count? You don't want to take any notice of what them old papers say about the workers being all important these days. That's all squit. Because we aren't. Do you think when the really talented people in this country get to work, they get to work for us? Hell, if they do, do you think they don't know we won't make the effort? The writers don't write thinking we can understand. Nor the painters don't paint expecting us to be interested, that they don't. Nor don't the composers give out music thinking we can appreciate it. Blast, they say. The masses is too stupid for us to come down to them. Blast, they say. If they don't make the effort, why should we bother? So do you know, come along. The slop singers and the pop writers and the filmmakers and the women's magazines and the Sunday papers and the picture strip love stories, that's who come along. And you don't have to make no effort for them. No, you don't, that come easy. We know where the money lie, they say. The workers have got it, so let's give them what they want. They want slop songs and film idols, we'll give them that then. They want words of one syllable, we'll give them that then. They want the third rate blast, we'll give them that then. Anything's good enough for them, because they don't ask for no more. The whole stinking commercial world insults us. And we don't care a damn. Well, Ronnie's right. It's our own bloody fault. We want the third rate. We've got it. We've got it.
Do you hear that? Do you hear it? Do you listen to me? I'm talking. Jenny? Frankie? Mother, I'm not quoting no more.
Oh, hell, I had enough of her. Let her talk a while. She'll soon get fed up.
Listen to me, someone. God in heaven, Ronnie. This work is happening to me. I can feel it's happened.
I'm beginning. On my own two feet. I'm beginning.
In Arnold Wesker's Roots, Beattie was played by Jessica Raine. Mrs. Bryant, Linda Bassett. Stan Mann, David Burke. Jenny, Lisa Ellis. And Mr. Bryant was Ian Gelder. Mr. Healy was Nick Jackman. Jimmy, Michael Gibson. Frank, Carl Prekop. And Pearl was Emma Stansfield. The original theatre sound was designed by Ian Dickinson. Arnold Wesker's Roots was a Dunmar Warehouse production and was first performed on the 3rd of October 2013. It was directed by James MacDonald and produced by Catherine Bailey for BBC Radio 3.
And Roots was first broadcast last year. Next Sunday sees the start of the BBC's season, marking the centenary of the playwright Arthur Miller. He was a New Yorker, and the city's language, characters and vision shaped his work. Ben Brantley of the New York Times takes us through Miller's New York at 6:45 in our Sunday feature. And then our Drama on 3 at 9:00 is a new production of his classic play Death of a Salesman. That's next Sunday here on BBC Radio 3.
This Thursday, join me, Ian McMillan, as Radio 3 celebrates National Poetry Day, part of a season of poets and poetry across the BBC. I'll be up with the birds to join the breakfast show, creating haiku poems with you, the listeners, on the theme of light. And later in the day, Matthew Sweet and friends will be exploring the poems of Walt Whitman on free thinking. Then on Friday, I'll be celebrating the undersung poets of the past on The Verb. National Poetry Day on BBC Radio 3 and across the BBC. Ooh, that scans beautifully.
At 10 to midnight tonight, there's a performance of Second String Quartet by Henrik Goretzky, recorded at the Total Immersion Day yesterday, and it'll be played by the Silesian Quartet. But now it's time for this week's Early Music Late, bringing to Sunday evenings the very best of specially recorded early music from around Europe. The presenter is Simon Hayes.
Hello. This evening we're heading for Hades in the company of opera's first star, Orpheus, made famous by Monteverdi's pioneering opera of 1607. But this isn't quite the usual tale of death and disappointment. The German ensemble, Stylus Fantasticus, has taken a fresh look at the myth of Orpheus and Eurydice, dipping into works written around the same time as Monteverdi's Orfeo to bring us a much more rounded portrait of Orpheus and some of his friends. We begin with an aria from the opera The Death of Orpheus, composed by Stefano Landi in 1619. It continues a story begun by Monteverdi, and we pick up again with Orpheus just as he's about to make his second visit to Hades. Stefano Landi described his opera as a tragicommedia, mixing elements of tragedy and comedy. And Charon, the infamous ferryman of Hades, does have a distinctly humorous side to his character, as we can hear in this jaunty drinking song, which he sings as he serves Orpheus the water of forgetfulness.